Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 967 is Bhur Bhuva Swastaruhu. It's quite a long name. Bhur Bhuva Swa. These are familiar terms for those who regularly chant Brahma Gayatri Mantra. These three terms are called three Vyahritis. Vyahriti literally means an utterance, but it particularly refers to these three terms, Bhur, Bhuvaha, Swa, which are recited in the Brahma Gayatri Mantras. They're considered, when recited in the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, as mystical terms. Bhu refers to this world, this earthly plane, Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, the second of the, or Bhu is the first, and then Bhuvaha is the second of the three Vyahritis. So that means Antariksha, the space immediately above the earthly plane, and Swa refers to Swarga, Swagaloka, the paradise of Indra, or the space above the sun or between the sun and the pole star, Dhruvaloka. So that is the third of the three Vyahritis. And Taru means tree. So Parashrabhata gives the meaning that he, Vishnu, by this name, is understood to mean that he is the tree for the beings of the three worlds, earth, sky, and heaven. Of course, there are worlds above. There are the worlds of the great rishis. And below, the whole area known as Patal, the subterraneanly heavenly planets, and the hellish worlds, and the Pitriloka. But in the Brahma Gayatri, these three are mentioned. These are the areas in which the moderately pious people, they rotate. Those who are the great rishis, they go up to the Mahajana Tapa Satyalokas. And of course, beyond this material world, there's a whole spiritual world. Vishnu is present in this world, omnipresent in this world, and acts like a tree. What does that mean? He is like a tree for the beings of the three worlds. Well, Parashrabhata explains that this can be understood in two main ways. He is protection, who is always there for all the beings of the three worlds, and he bestows fruits upon the beings of these three worlds. Parashrabhata especially draws our attention to the Parijata, the tree in the heavenly worlds. Of course, we have Parijata tree on this earth also, but especially it is known as a heavenly tree. And he gives the example that a tree is a resort for the birds and for travelers. Travelers going in the hot sun. Just now as I'm speaking, we're having continued heat wave here in South India, probably most of India, very dry, very hot. But travelers who have to walk in this tremendous heat, if they find a tree, some trees are very especially good for shade, the banyan tree especially. So the tree, by its green foliage, cool shade, gives shelter. So this name particularly refers to the protection aspect, Parashrabhata says. Vishnu, he's the maintainer, he's the protector, he's the provider, but especially, Parashrabhata says, this refers to the time of Naimitic Pralaya. During the time of the night of Lord Brahma, these three worlds. Now, why does it only refer to these three worlds? Because these three worlds get submerged in the water of destruction during the night of Brahma. And Bhagavan protects all these three worlds by swallowing them and keeping them in his stomach. Good protection, because he causes them to become manifest again afterwards. Of course, he's the protector for all the beings in the 14 worlds and beyond that in the spiritual world. So, in this way, the name is, as with many names of Vishnu and Vishnu Sahasranam, it indicates more than is just stated. Parashrabhata, in this regard, quotes from Vishnu Purana, Samashritat Brahma Taro Anantat Nissangshaya Pakva Pala Prapataha. That anyone who resorts to the eternal tree of Brahman, which is understood to mean Vishnu, that Brahman, who is eternal, an eternal, unlimited tree, then without a doubt, the ripe fruit will fall into his hands. Just like someone takes shelter of a tree and he's getting shade, and just it happens, a ripe fruit falls, which he can take advantage of. So if one takes shelter of the eternal tree of Brahman, then one is not only sheltered from the blazing fire of material existence, but without any other effort, he gets the ripe fruit of the tree, which is understood to mean release from the bondage of samsara. In this regard, V.V. Ramanujan refers us to Namalvas Thiruvayamoli, where the concept of protection by the Supreme Lord is described, that he alone, Bhagavan, protects all the beings of the three worlds who are full of so many sufferings. He is the sole cause of all living beings, and after bringing them into being, of course they don't exactly get created, but he gives them bodies. So just like, this is another analogy, the parents, so to speak, create the living beings and then takes responsibility for protecting them and does not relinquish that responsibility under any circumstances. So the tree is protecting, the parents are protecting, the Supreme Lord is often compared to the parent in terms of protecting, and in this name is compared to the tree. We hear that the Trimurti, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they oversee the creation, protection, and destruction of the world. Protection is the primary concern of Vishnu. He's the maintainer and the protector. In Ramayana, Tara, the wife of Vali, she describes him, Nivasa Vriksha Sadhunam Apananam Paragatihi Artanam Sangshrayaschaiva Yashascha Eka Bhajanam. Sri Ram is the protective tree, actually for everyone, Bhubhuva Swastaruhu, but here Tara emphasizes particularly for the sadhus. Paritranaya sadhanam vinashayata dushkritam. He's known for protecting the sadhus, uplifting the sadhus, and destroying the opponents of the sadhus, the rascals, the demons. So in one sense, he's protecting all living beings, but particularly for the sadhus. So Tara says, Rama is the protective tree for the virtuous. He is the safe abode for the suffering. For those who have no place to go, he is the resort. He's the topmost aim. And for those who are distressed, he is the shelter. For these reasons, she says, he alone is the proper person to be glorified. Can we imagine what a big tree to give shelter to all the worlds? Can you imagine a tree giving shelter to the Atlantic Ocean, a tree big enough to cover, big enough to cover the whole universe? In Bhagavatam, fourth canto, there's a description of Lord Shiva meditating underneath a banyan tree, 800 miles in height and 600 miles in breadth. And that's only one tree in the whole universe. And Vishnu is a tree which shelters the whole universe. Of course, it is figurative to say he's a tree, inasmuch as he gives protection. Lord Krishna himself gives the example of a tree giving protection. When the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, feeling distressed by the tremendous heat of summer, and we are feeling it here now, the boys, feeling distressed by the great heat of summer, took shelter at the base of a tree which stood just like a great umbrella. And Krishna then described to the cowherd boys that the life of a tree is most excellent. Elsewhere, we find in Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, when Krishna is talking about the trees of Vrindavan to Balaram, he says that they have attained these bodies to act as trees, to bow down to you, to Balaram. But here Krishna says that the life of a tree is most excellent, for even though the tree himself is not sheltered from the sun, the wind, the rain, but he gives protection to others. He serves, the tree serves others and fulfills all kinds of needs of others and desires of others by giving leaves, flowers, fruit, shade, roots, bark, wood, fragrance, sap, ashes, pulp, and sprouts. So in all these ways, the trees can serve human society. So Krishna said that one should be like a tree giving shelter to others. We can't give or serving others. We can't serve in the way that Krishna does as the tree of the whole cosmos, but we can take inspiration from him. Also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the example is given that even if one cuts a tree and it never protests, and even if it is drying up and dying, it does not ask anyone for water. So in this way, Tarariva Sahishnuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example that we should be as tolerant as a tree. So Vishnu is so tolerant that even though people blaspheme him, they ignore him, they deny his existence, but he goes on giving shelter. He doesn't reject us. He gives again and again chances, just like a tree. He doesn't protest. He keeps on providing food and all different things for everyone. Shankaracharya, in his primary interpretation for this name, takes taru, he takes the root tri, just like we have paritranaya, in the sense of to cross over, to swim. So he gives the meaning Vishnu Bhubhuva Swastaru helps us in crossing over the three worlds. And in this regard, he cites a mantra from the Rig Veda, which also occurs in the Taittiriya Upanishad. I'll give an English translation. Bhagavan created the three worlds. Then he created Agni in this world, in Bhuloka, Vayu in Bhuvaloka, and Surya in Swarloka. From these came the three Vedas. The Rig Veda came from Agni, the Yajur Veda from Vayu, and Sama Veda from Surya the sun. And then out of these, again, the three Vedas, came the three Vyahritis. It's a big topic which commentators have analyzed in great detail, the Gayatri Mantra. But this Rig Vedic mantra says, out of these three Vedas came these sounds, Bhu from Agni, Bhuva from Vayu, and Swa from the sun. And the Veda says, the Shruti says, by performing Homa sacrifice using these three Vyahritis, so they're pronounced in the Brahma Gayatri Mantra and also in Homa sacrifices. By performing Homa using these three Vyahritis, one crosses the three worlds. So Shankara says that he, Vishnu, helps those who perform yajna using these three Vyahritis to cross over these three worlds that are the origin of these three Vyahritis. It's a very deep, mystical subject. An alternative meaning given by Shankara is that he has this name signifying that he is spread out in the three worlds like a tree. So it's very similar to that which Parashrabhata gave. Parashrabhata came later. It seems he didn't take cognizance of Shankara's commentary in preparing his own commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam. But the meanings are very similar that they give. And, well, that is the direct meaning. Bhu Bhuva Swa Taru. He is a tree for the three worlds. Another meaning is that he is the support of these three worlds. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma states, Namo Bhagavate Bhuvanadrumaya. In his prayers to Vishnu for creative energy, he offers obeisances to Bhagavan as Bhuvana Dhruma. Dhruma is another word for tree, and Bhuvana can mean all the worlds. So Srila Prabhupada gives his translation for this verse. Your Lordship, Narayana, is the prime root of the tree of the planetary systems. This tree has grown by first penetrating the material nature in three trunks, as me, Brahma, as you, the Almighty, and as Shivan, for creation, maintenance, and dissolution. Yeah, that's Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, for creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And we three have grown with many branches. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto you, the tree of the cosmic manifestation. Another way this name, Bhurbhuva Swastaru, can be broken up, understood. Bhu means complete. Bhuva means supreme in wealth and valor. Sva gives the indication of unlimited, infinite happiness. And Taru means he's like a divine wish-fulfilling tree. So because Vishnu is complete, and has unlimited supreme wealth and valor and enjoys infinite happiness and is like a divine wish-fulfilling tree, he is called Bhurbhuva Swastaru. Another meaning is that he surpasses, he is crossed over Tarati, the interpretation that Shankaracharya gives. That means crossed over means he supersedes, he's above the three worlds, Bhurbhuva Swa. Another meaning is that this idea of crossing over means he leads all the people in these three worlds, earth, heaven, and sky, means he leads them beyond the three worlds. We used to hear about, it's still going on, we used to hear a lot of it. When I was a child, there was a lot of excitement. We're conquering space. It was the time of the space race. The idea, we'll go to the moon. We'll go to Mars. We'll conquer space. And they have sent a few tin cans beyond this immediate area of the Earth. This idea of conquering space is foolish. They can't even conquer their mind or senses. They can't conquer the Earth. They thought they would conquer nature by their scientific advancement. But nature is striking back. And anyway, what is this idea, conquering space? The real idea that we get from the enlightened understanding given in the Vedic literature, especially Vedanta, is why stay in this material world anyway? Even if you do go to the moon, even if you do go to Mars, just as we're suffering here on this earth, we'll suffer there also. Now they want to go to Mars because we've messed up the earth so badly. They'll go there, if they go there, highly unlikely, they'll mess it up also. Foolishness, conquering space. Rather, we should take shelter of he who is the shelter for everyone in the three worlds. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that, Baladev Vidyabhushan, commenting on this name, says that Bhishma then speaks about he who is the supreme power. He is the enjoyer of rasa, rasa lila. He's called Bhurbhuva Swastaru because he is the tree on whose shadow or shelter and fruits the living beings in the three worlds, who are like birds subsisting on the tree, they subsist. So after pointing out in so many names how Krishna is the enjoyer of the rasa lila, he's intimately related with the gopis, Baladev now gives an understanding of this name which is in line with many of the other commentators, but still invoking how, yes, he is the shelter of all the worlds, but don't forget, in his most intimate aspect, he's the enjoyer of the rasa lila. So we should be very grateful, we who are in this world, who are sheltered by him in this world, that he also comes to this world to demonstrate to us to go beyond this world, to don't just take advantage of his shelter and think I'm very happy here. Go beyond it. Go to the spiritual world. The very name Narayana means shelter. It's derived from the word Nara, which refers to eternal entities, and the shelter, Ayana, of all entities is Narayana. So Narayana is the name of a specific person. We have names like Shiva. Shiva is the name of a person, but it also means auspicious, and it can be used as an adjective. but can refer to any person. But Narayana can only refer to Lord Vishnu. He is the only shelter of all the Naras, of all the living beings. Or Nara is also used to mean a man. We need shelter. This name, Bhubhuvasva, that Bhubhuvasvastaru, he's like a tree which gives shelter to the whole universe. This at once brings into focus how small we are compared to all the worlds, and that we need shelter. We're all looking for shelter. Or demoniac people, they try to show, I'm very great. I don't need any shelter. I'm a controller. But we all have to take shelter. In Vedic society, the king is considered the shelter of all the citizens. He's considered a representative of Krishna, but he can do that by taking shelter of Krishna. This essential point is missing in human society today. There are so many people studying psychology, they don't recognize this point, that we need shelter, and actually we should take shelter in Krishna. Otherwise, we take shelter in fallible soldiers. Fallible soldiers means deha patyakala charishu. We take shelter in our children, in our wife, in our home. These are fallible soldiers because they cannot properly protect us. We take shelter of alcohol or other intoxicants. We take shelter of psychology, trying to understand everything. We take shelter of trying to understand our own mind. We take shelter of science. We take shelter of sex indulgence, sensual indulgence. We're looking for shelter. The great example of shelter is a mother. It's very demoniac that at the present time, women are trained not to be a shelter, to stand up and show yourself to be so great. But the natural role is to be a shelter. The mother, the women in Vedic culture are to be addressed as mother and to be thought of as mothers. Being raised in the West, I thought the idea that mothers are only for children. And nowadays we don't even have that. They have this funny thing, you'll see in scientific literature now that persons who are pregnant. What do you mean persons who are pregnant? It's only women that get pregnant. There's this insane idea that women and men are to be treated the same in all respects, although only women get pregnant. Persons who are pregnant should consult their doctor before taking this medicine. What do you mean persons who are pregnant? It's laughable, it's lamentable. But anyway, the idea was that I was being raised in the West, that mothers are only for children, and just like you're weaned off your brothers, off your mother's breast milk at a young age, and I being raised in a male body in the West was weaned off mother's protection. At an early age, about maybe 4 years old, I was given a separate bedroom, just staying in a bedroom by myself at night, away from the shelter of my mother. And immediately I felt fear and nightmares. Then from the age of 4-something, I was sent to school all day. So the implied message is, that you don't need a mother and she doesn't need you. You should be tough. Boys don't cry. You should be self-reliant. Well, it does breed some self-reliance, but it also breeds a kind of selfishness. You have to look after yourself. Now I'm older. Big boys don't cry. I'm old enough. I can look after myself. From an early age, the mothers are trying to throw the children away from their shelter. Of course, you don't want children being grown up who are overly dependent. But it's a great error of Western civilization to think that adults don't need mothers. I'm saying in Vedic culture, all women are addressed as mothers. They're seen as mothers. It's a tremendous psychological damage perpetrated in so-called advanced societies by denying grown people a mother to go to. A mother is a shelter, even when you're 40 years old, even when you're 60 years old. The mother and the father are shelters that you can go to. And the mothers, they're also, it's just a biological function. And they're trained from the beginning, don't give too much shelter. And then the children leave the parents, and they're not, it's as if the parents don't exist practically for the children. So it's very painful for the parents, or it would be if they weren't trained to be just machines for giving birth. But it's a lifelong job to be a mother. The mother may be 80 and the child 60, but still she's the mother. We need a shoulder to cry on. Just like a tree is unconditional. We're talking about trees here, not mothers, but we're talking about shelter, protection. The tree is unconditional. We see Krishna like a tree. This very name gives us the idea to see Krishna like a tree. But we shouldn't treat Krishna like a tree. We see he's so kind in giving shelter to everyone. But we shouldn't treat him like a tree, that we take things from him, but we don't acknowledge. The mother is a better shelter than a tree, in as much as we don't have to go to the tree and take something. She automatically gives her love and care. But Krishna is the best mother, the best tree, the best shelter that we need. Because after all, the shelter of a tree in this world, it's temporary. You can't live under a tree all your life. Well, some people may, but you have to keep moving in this world. The mother's shelter is an emotional need for everyone in this world, but we should see it also, while giving the example of a mother's need to give emotional shelter, then we should also remember that that's temporary and illusory. So we use these examples, the mother's shelter, the tree's shelter, but we know that the real shelter is Krishna, and that we're not supposed to stay in this world, but to take shelter of him fully and go to the spiritual world. He's the shelter of Bhubhuva Sva, of this material world, but we should learn from him not to remain in this world. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.